Hi again, everybody, and welcome to episode 119 of the Emerens Podcast. This is the first of my short episodes about one particular issue, and today's episode is healthcare. Because there's a couple of things I want to say about that, that it's partly based on things that have annoyed me about the election campaign. But before I get into that, I do have a brief update from the news. Today was election day in Canada. And you might remember Mark from Slap Upside the Head was talking a bit about that and what was coming up and so on. Well, the CBC is projecting that the Conservatives will be reelected to a minority government, which is what they've been running, essentially. They did well in Atlantic Canada, apart from Newfoundland and Labrador, where they were shut out completely. And apparently there was a lot of vote splitting going on in Ontario and in Quebec. The Bloc Québécois managed to pretty much push the Conservatives aside, but nevertheless, they did well enough to maintain a Conservative government. And at some stage, I'm going to have Mark back on. We're going to talk about that, about some of the implications of that, especially for GLBT people, but also sort of in general. But wait a bit for the dust to settle so that it's a bit clearer what was going on. But now on to the main issue today, the main topic today, which is the issue of healthcare. Now, one of the things which has annoyed me immensely about the American election campaign is what I consider to be the misinformation that is being spread about single-payer healthcare system. Now, most public opinion polls that I've seen in the U.S. show that the majority of Americans favor a single-payer system. Now, I think part of the problem is that a lot of people aren't really clear on what that means and what the implications are. But one of the things that does annoy me is that Republicans in general, and Republicans specifically and conservatives in general, have been talking about single payer as socialized medicine. And this is bad. This is bad, bad. And it ain't necessarily so. One of the things that you often see on right-wing websites and blogs and those kinds of things is people saying how the public health system in Britain and Canada is broken. It doesn't work. It's a complete failure. And oh my God, people are fleeing to America for treatment. Well, that's not true either. In fact, people in Britain and in Canada are really reasonably happy with their system. And we are here in New Zealand as well. And that's really what I wanted to focus on today, because there's nothing to be afraid of in a single-payer, centralized health system. What it starts with is the premise that healthcare is a right, not a privilege, that everyone has the right to basic healthcare. I'm going to give you a concrete example of how this is in practice. I know of somebody who had some internal issues that had to be sorted out, and they needed surgery. So they went to the hospital. Well, they went through the doctor and all that sort of thing, and were sent to the hospital. They checked in, they had their surgery, they were given a lot of pain relief afterwards and other medicines and obviously the food and all that. There was the surgeon and the anesthesiologist and all the other lab work that had to be done, other bits and pieces. They walked out of the hospital and that was the end of it. No bill, no financial ruin, no insurance claims to file, nothing. That's it. And that is the way it generally works in a socialized system like New Zealand has. Any New Zealand citizen and permanent resident is covered by the National Health Scheme, which is paid for out of income taxes. You go to your doctor, which you do pay for, although it's subsidized for most people, and you go through the process. If most doctors are general practitioners, and they do your initial consultation. If they feel that you've got a problem that needs more dressing, they'll order tests and procedures of that sort. And if it still indicates there may be something more, they'll refer you to a specialist in that field, perhaps a surgeon. Depends on what it is, of course. And then if you're evaluated and they determine what you need, how urgently you need it, those kinds of things. And at some stage, then if you need surgery, you go to the hospital to get the surgery done, and that's the end of it. There's no one in New Zealand who will be bankrupted because they need health care. There's no one in New Zealand who has to make the choice between getting the prescription filled and eating. It just doesn't happen here because drugs are also subsidized. Now, is there a downside? Yes. And I've talked about this before. In a socialized system like New Zealand's, there's a waiting list. You don't necessarily get your procedure done immediately. It, as I said, is evaluated based on how serious it is, basically the likelihood of success, those kinds of things. And the people who have the most urgent need go to the head of the line, and the people who are less urgent go further back. In the case of prescription drugs, they're selected by the central purchasing agency, which is called PharmaC, and are subsidized that way. That doesn't mean you can't get other drugs. It just means you may have to pay the full price for it rather than the subsidized amount. Similarly, with surgery or other procedures like that, you don't necessarily have to go on the waiting list. There's nothing stopping you from buying private health insurance. I have private health insurance. And there are two reasons I have health insurance. One is exactly that, so that if I need something dealt with, I can get it done right away. I have the means to pay for the health insurance, so I thought, why not? So it's a practical thing. It allows me to get things seen to more quickly, and potentially that could be a very important thing. But the other reason, and this is quite frankly probably the dominant reason I have it, is that as an American, I feel very uncomfortable if I don't have health insurance. Because in America, if you don't have health insurance, you're really skating on thin ice. Sooner or later, you're going to get sick or have an accident or have some other problem. And if you don't have health insurance, you're screwed. In New Zealand, all accidents are covered through another scheme called ACC. And how that's it's paid for in a couple of ways. If you're injured in the workplace, you pay a part of the premium to the government and your employer pays the rest. And between the two of you, that covers covers any workplace accidents. It covers rehabilitation, all those kinds of things. If you're in a car or injured in your home, that's usually covered through your insurance. It's a levy on the insurance premium that you pay. But we have a no-fault system, so it's not like you have to worry about somebody suing you in case somebody's injured because of something you did or your negligence or what have you. And that's one of the keys to keeping our health costs low, the fact that you cannot sue somebody. Generally speaking, you cannot sue somebody for negligence or for something like that. So it keeps the costs down. Also, the fact that it's shared among the entire population means that the risk, the costs, and the risk are spread out as well. And it's basically a large pool. Now, I've heard some conservatives argue that, well, New Zealand's a small country. Of course it works here. It's quite homogenous. Well, that's true. It is a small population. It is relatively homogenous. However, we do have some significant healthcare issues, particularly with respect to Maori and Polynesians and poor people in general. So, I mean, it's not like it's a monolithic block of people who are all in picture-perfect health. Smoking rates are too high. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer deaths in New Zealand as well, almost in America. The point, basically, is that there's nothing particularly unusual about New Zealand's society, its population. There are health risks that are relevant to class or to economic status, and there are pockets of people who are very healthy indeed. There are people who would never be able to afford health insurance if we had a U.S.-style system, and there are people like me who do afford health insurance and do buy it. So there's a great deal of flexibility, I'd say, in the New Zealand system. Now, I'm not arguing that the New Zealand system or one like it is what is ideal for the U.S. It may not be. It could very well be that there's something else required. But here's the thing that has stumped me about this whole debate. The assumption on the right is that the only way to go is to keep healthcare in the hands of profit-making entities. And I don't think that that's correct. I think that healthcare is too important to be left to the private sector. However, the United States is the country that has been sending space shots for decades, put men on the bloody moon, won two world wars. I cannot believe and will not accept that the U.S. is incapable of coming up with a system that covers every man, woman, and child in the U.S. and makes sure that no one has to make a choice between health care and basic survival. It's not acceptable the way the system is now, and there's got to be a way to fix it, one that doesn't rely exclusively on the riches of private companies, but one that puts the people first, which is what systems like New Zealand, Canada, the UK, and so on, it's what they do. They put the people first. So the next time you hear a conservative saying, oh, Canada's healthcare system is so broken it doesn't work and people are coming to America for treatment, or that they say that it's impossible for a centralized national healthcare system to work, tell them they don't know what they're talking about, because they don't. All right, that is it for this short subject, but I am going to go over comments before I close out today. And the first comment was from Big Fatty, who said, I couldn't help but notice that today's podcast was exactly 20 minutes. And I said, was it? Why, I hadn't noticed. Okay, the truth is, I wanted to make a short episode, and what better number than 20 minutes? I heard you mention on Archer Radio how you did it, so I thought, why not? And I did. Big Fatty's episodes, for those of you who don't listen, are exactly 20 minutes long. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll do that too. And then next was Archer, who said, speaking of Archer, he said, I'd say the shock mount is working beautifully. I don't know anything about the financial stuff you were talking about. It's all so confusing. I think I just have the optimism that things will change in the right direction once Obama is in office. And I said, yes, so far so good with the shock mount, but the real test will be when I use it at a table with a guest. The financial stuff makes my head spin, but I have a lot more faith in Obama being able to sort it all out than the other crowd. And that's certainly the truth. You know, this whole financial thing actually brings up something that's sort of related to today's main topic as well. And that's how the conservatives in general and the right in particular have been going on and on and on about how Barack Obama is an ultra-liberal, which is stupid because there are clearly others who are far more liberal than he is. And also the fact that they say he's a Marxist or a socialist and he's going to bring socialism to America. Well, that's just stupid. I mean, it either means that they have no idea what socialism is or that they do know and they're just being willful and ornery, which is probably equally possible. But, I mean, if you want to talk about socialism, you'd have to talk about George Bush and his financial bailout of Wall Street. I mean, that is socialism, and he's nationalizing the banks now, or several banks anyway. So, I mean, if you want to talk socialism, look to George Bush before you start looking at Barack Obama, because that's far more socialist than anything either Obama or the Democrats have even thought about doing, much less what they plan on doing. So, I mean, a little dose of reality would go a long way to help things in America, I think. But anyway, now about the shock mount, it so far it does seem to work pretty well. And I didn't really explain what the deal with it is. I said that it absorbs shocks if somebody hits the desk or table or whatever. Like right now, I'll hit the table. You can hear me hit the table, but it's not the same as if somebody like bumps the mic like that. So it's that's what it does. It absorbs any, if anybody bumps the desk, you might still hear the sound, but you won't hear the thunk in the mic when they do it. The downside, though, is that I haven't been able to figure out how to attach the pop filter again. And so for right now, I have to have the gain up, but keep myself a bit back so that I don't do that into the mic like that. I try not to do that too loud so I don't blast anybody's ears out, because that's not a good thing. Now, I am planning at least two more episodes this week. Well, two more episodes, tomorrow and Friday. And I'm giving you fair warning, because I know some people have their iTunes set to delete older episodes when a new one comes in. Tomorrow's episode will probably also be short, probably on one particular topic, and it may not have anything to do with the U.S. I haven't decided yet, to be honest. But Friday's episode, I'm hoping, is going to be another political discussion with Jason, because we're way overdue. But we'll see how it goes, because, you know, we have to arrange things with time zones and so on. But we've missed out on a lot. All the debates have happened since we last recorded. But hopefully we'll get a chance to listen to talk about tomorrow's debate. We'll see. We'll see how things go. But at any rate, we'll try to bring things up to date and move on for the closing phase of the campaign. But that is it for today. I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarins Podcast at amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at arthur@amarinspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.